you do not understand white supremacy, what it is, and how it works, everything else that you do understand will confuse you. In all of these nine areas of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. Anywhere on the planet, minute by minute, day by day, all of the time, all of the time, all of the time.
Well, good morning and welcome to the April the 9th, 2024 edition of the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, and we do thank you for tuning in and listening to today's program. Now, we would like for you to join us and be a part of the program, and you can do that by simply dialing this number, 516-453-9921. And when you do that, wait for the call screener to come in and give the call screener your name so that when you are called upon by me, I can properly give you the introduction. So could you please do that, ma'am or sir? Now, if you are a first-time caller, you do the same thing, but you tell the call screener that you are a first-time caller, and that gives you a priority status, and you will be heard. So get ready so that when I call on you, you may ask your question. The second way you can do to get in contact with the show to have Mr. Fuller answer your question is you can Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, M-R-B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. I will get it. I will give you my symbol for the most part to let you know that I have received it. And when it is time to read your Gmail, particularly when the call volume is a little slow, I will read your Gmail and you can hear it. And I will let you know when that's going to be when that is going to be. So do that. And lastly, you can do this. You can join the chat room as as many people do. All you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com, and when you get that, you want to click on where it says programs. You click on the program menu, and then when you click that up, then a list of, you want shows, and a list of shows will come up, and the show that you want is the Produce Justice Show. You click on that, and you are in the chat room. Yes, you are. And if you're in there and you want me to say your name, because I am bad on pronunciations, but I'm getting better. At least I think I am. I tell myself I am getting better. But give that to me as Seishata. And hopefully I'm pronouncing it correctly, but there's a little more to it. But I can give you a pronunciation. Now listen, when you're in the chat room though, and you want to ask a question for Mr. Fuller, don't do that, because that's what the phone number is for or the Gmail is for. But I will occasionally take something from the chat and I will formulate a question to ask Mr. Fuller to comment on it, and we can go from there. And of course I will give you the credit for that too, so that I don't steal your work. You know, Mr. Fuller always says, stand by your work. So we have to do that. So you do all that, and then you're all in. Now, importantly, when you follow this program, it is imperative that you get the book. You need the book as a reference guide, because it is a code book. Yes, it is a code book. What book am I talking about? I'm talking about Mr. Fuller's book, The United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept. You need that. You need that to be able to look at the suggestions that are in the book and then help yourself to go by that, to deal with the situations that you have to deal with. It'll give you instructions on what to do and what not to do. That's important. There's a balance in there. What to do and what not to do. By doing what? asking questions, and you'll hear that throughout the program. Okay, I think that is all that I have to do so far. Thank you, Emery, for getting in there. And text green, 777, thank you. They're in the chat room. Okay. So I believe that is all that I have to do. Oh, yes, you can get the books by going to producejustice.com, producejustice.com. All right, let's go with the program. Let me say hello to Mr. Fuller. Mr. Fuller, good morning, and how are you?
Good morning. I'm still learning.
Okay. Boy, you hit that hard, learning. Okay. Let me introduce to some and present to others Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr., and we have a segment that is entitled The Thoughts and Expressions on the Mind of Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. Mr. Fuller, today being Tuesday, the 9th of April, 2024, what is on your mind to open up today's session?
What's on my mind is the Constitution of the United States. And I would like to mention that within the context of what's on my mind. And the first thing I want to mention about it is that it's a part of the code that I have written. The United Independent Compensatory Code System concept. Because I was reading the preamble and have been for some time now, for the last 3 or 4 years, with a lot of emphasis on it to myself. And the main thing is the amendments, particularly the 14th, the 5th and the 13th and the 14th, but my focus has been what is called the preamble, sort of like an introduction. I think that's what preamble means. And the preamble, and I'm looking at it right now and reading from it, of the Constitution of the United States, is as follows. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Perfect union, justice, domestic tranquility, common defense, general welfare, and the blessings of liberty. That's what this Constitution of the United States is for. For whom? We, the people of the United States. That's been what's on my mind. And I'm saying, the code, you know, how can the compensatory code contend with that? You don't. You incorporate it because it's self-incorporated. It's about, and here's the key. This is what's on my mind. This Constitution is to establish justice. That's saying a whole mouthful right there. That's a whole book right there on that one thing. That's what this Constitution of the United States of America is for. It's to establish justice. The name of this podcast here, right now, that we're on, the goal is to do what? Produce justice. That's the name of this podcast. So there is no conflict between the United States of America and the purpose of the United Independent Compensatory Code System concept. And that's what I've been thinking about. And I'm asking everybody to use the textbook for victims of white supremacy, which is with the goal of producing a product called justice, and use the Constitution of the United States of America for the same purpose, because it says in the preamble, what is this Constitution for? That's what the announcement is about. They're explaining it to you. And they say the first order is a more perfect union. And that union is supposed to do what? The first order of business, establish justice. The name of this podcast right now that you're on is producejustice.com. There's evidence of that. That's what it's been called ever since it began. So we're right on the same page according to compensatory logic, which is what we are supposed to be doing in trying to produce this thing called justice.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want anybody to, well, I'll put it this way, better said, I want everybody to think about it that way. And since Americans, if you're going to qualify, believe in justice, and you believe in justice by proving it, that's the only way anybody knows that anybody believes in something. You prove it by doing it. So everybody, logically speaking, right now, is supposed to be, according to the logic of what I'm doing within that context, trying to have the goal of producing justice as best they can, and that will qualify you to be an American. And since we always say that being an American is also trying to influence all over the world, the what? Establishing justice. Well, that would include people who say that they are Africans and people who say that they are Asians. Oh, if we're going to produce justice, oh, well, hey, what African can be against that? What Asian can be against that? And if there are people anywhere on this planet who are against justice, let them speak up. say why. Why are you against justice? And that's what's on Neely Fuller's mind. I'm ready to take calls.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
About any matter, not just what I just talked about.
Okay. All right, thank you very much, Mr. Fuller. Okay. Being that this is the 9th of April, 2024, just want to make that very clear. It is the 9th day of the month of April, 2024. Anyway, we will move along here. Yes. Okay. Let's go to the phone lines. Here is the number, 516-453-9921 is the number. And we're going to go to New York and Helen B. Get ready, Helen B. Here we come. Let me put this over there. Okay, good morning, Helen B. You are on with Neely Fuller. What is your question this morning?
Is it constructive to talk about racism without permission if the result of gentle persistency with a fellow victim could be another counter-racist soldier? And I would like to stay on the line, and I can repeat it if need be.
Okay, Mr. Fuller?
Was that a question?
Yes, she did.
Yes, sir.
And is it what now?
Is it constructive to talk about racism without permission if the result of gentle persistency with a fellow victim could be another counter-racist soldier?
Could that person, well, I'll try to answer the first part because I'm not getting cohesion, and that's my fault. So, well, it really might be there's no first part. It's the whole question. But what, I'll just take the last part of the question. Maybe I can work from there. What did you say about race soldiers?
You want me to explain a little bit of what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
You know how you say, like, we're not supposed to talk about racism unless we're given permission? So what if you can, if you're not given permission to talk about racism?
Okay, I can deal with that. Hold it right there.
Okay.
Given, I have to ask another question about the question. Given permission by whom? See, because the code says I don't talk about race unless given permission to the person that I'm going to talk about race to. That's the code. So now, what's the other part?
But what if gentle persuasion, gentle persistency could help that person in understanding the code?
Well, wait a minute. What if the person...
Gentle persistency, gentle persuasion.
Oh, the person through gentle persuasion wants you to do what? I don't understand any of the words, in the question. Maybe Mr. Bobby, are you there?
Yes, I'm right here. Correct me if I'm incorrect, Helen B. You're saying that with gentle persuasion, a person who does not want to talk about racism, is it proper to talk about it, or can you talk about it? Is that basically what you are saying, Helen?
Yes, sir, something like that. Yes. Exactly. Something.
No, no, the answer is no. You don't talk about it without the explicit permission from the person that you're talking to. Why? It's a volatile subject. We already know that. Or we should know it. So knowing that, and a lot of white white people are letting black people know for certain. We don't want to talk about it, you know, the way y'all are going about talking about it, we don't want to talk about it at all, particularly in the schools. And heaven forbid, don't teach none of that stuff to our children. So what you do, that's a problem. So what does the code say about problem solving? Ask questions. All problems are solved through the process of questions. So gentle persuasion, you ask people what do they want to talk about. Now we go to page 171 and 172 of the code. See, people want something. White people want something. Every creature on this planet wants something. When I got up this morning, I wanted something immediately. One thing I wanted was either not to get out of bed or to stay in bed or to get up out of the bed. But I wanted something. So find out what people want. Because I have found from experience, if a black person is talking to a white person, that white person is going to let you know in no uncertain terms that one thing they don't want to do is talk about race in such a way that they get uncomfortable with you talking about race. So you say, just like the code says on page 171 about the wants. It's not said exactly like this because it says you ask these four questions, first of all, to yourself. But after you do it with yourself, you do it with everybody else. And you do this every day, all day, anywhere you go. Find out what people want. People always want to talk about what they want, not so much what you want. See, when black people talk to the average white person about race, that average white person's antenna is going to immediately go up and says, he or she wants something from me. That's the only reason they're bringing up this thing with race. It's something they want me to do. And most likely I ain't going to want to do it. See, so that's why I'm saying you find out what the white person wants to talk about. Because if you talk long enough, particularly in this day and time, they're going to say something that has to do with justice, directly or indirectly. That racist is going to creep into the conversation anyway. That's why I tell black people, you know, don't do it. Don't do it. If you're having a conversation about any problem, the race problem is the biggest problem on the planet. So it's going to creep into the conversation. In economics, if you're talking about the use of time and energy, the race problem is going to come into it, directly and indirectly, particularly in this day and time. All you got to do is just wait. Now, that's a long-winded answer to the question, but I had to get the question in my mind. The code definitely calls for that.
All righty.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I hope that that's an adequate answer. I got a lot more to say, but maybe that's an adequate answer. Don't mention race to a person who is not ready to talk about it, or you perceive that they might not be ready, and you should perceive that. Black people don't like to talk about race. So talk about whatever they want to talk about. It's going to lead to the racism. It's going to lead to it. They are going to lead you to it. See, that's the magic of it. They're going to lead the white person or the black person who will state to you, look, I don't want you to say nothing to me about no race. I'm sick and tired of listening to that garbage. I mean, get a life. Stop talking to me about all white folks, this and white. You know, some black people will say that. They've said that to me. I say, okay, what do you want to talk about? Next thing you know, they're drenching me with race. Yeah, this cracker held me up. What? And I'm saying, you just told me 2 hours ago when you went on this diatribe about how things are that are going south with you, starting off talking about some handkerchief here and Uncle Tom Negroes. I mean, he brings it up after, you know, telling you that he don't want to hear nothing about it. It's happened to me over and over and over again, believe me. All you got to do is have your antenna up when you say, wait a minute, you're talking about a problem, because the average person is talking about a problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, I hear people in the middle of the night. Heard it last night, right outside my window. A black person talking to another black person. What was it? A lot of cuss words. And what was that really all about? I don't know, but it was some type of problem.
Hmm.
Wasn't talking about nothing pleasant. I mean,
okay.
They were just going back and forth. They weren't cussing each other out or anything, but they were talking about some type of problem.
Hmm. All right.
So all problems lead to one door, the system of white supremacy.
Yes. All right, Helen B., thank you. Hopefully that gave you a satisfactory answer, and we will keep you on the line. Tell you what I'm going to do right here. I'm going to take a station break, and then we're going to be right back. You are listening to the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neil E. Fuller, Jr., and I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, being that it is April the 9th, 2024 edition. All righty. Now, to get in contact with the show, all you need to do is to call this number, which is 516-453-9921. And wait for the call screener to come on so you may give the call screener your name. And hopefully I can give you the proper introduction by way of the correct pronunciation. You can also Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, MrBobby at gmail.com. Or you can do this. You can join the chat room by going to blogtalkradio.com. Click on where it says programs. You click on that, and then a menu will come up, a show menu will come up, and you want the Produce Justice Show. Click on that, and then the window for the chat room becomes available to you, and you can join the chat room, as several have done that. By the way, I forgot to mention that if you are a first-time caller, make sure that you tell the call screener that you are a first-time caller, and you get priority status. Yeah, P.S., priority status. And you will be heard. I want to thank you for last week's show. You called in. You made me proud of you. You called in. And we got a chance to speak with, I think, Dr. Francis Cress Welsing's nephew. I think that is correct. Is that correct, Mr. Fuller, her nephew?
Yes.
Okay.
That was her nephew.
Yeah.
That was her sister's child.
Yes. Okay.
Who was named Barbara, who is deceased.
Okay. Anyway, it was a very good show, and the responses that I got from that was very encouraging. So thank you for listening and for all of your calls, which we do not take for granted. By the way, when you do call somebody, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, by the way, for those of you who are calling, don't forget to give the call screener your name. Somebody just came up, and I don't have your name in there. So if you want me to answer your call because the hand is up, please give the call screener your name. Books, yes, get the book, the code book. We're going to have Mr. Fuller explain a little later in the show why that is important. You can call it the code book. But you got to maybe answer this question: what is a code, and why does a code work, and how does it work? And then I'll have a little something for that. Okay, back to the phone lines. 516-453-9921. Milwaukee, Corey, get ready. Here we come. All righty, Corey, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Bobby. Good morning, Mr. Fuller. Mr. Fuller, continuing with what you were expressing about the Constitution and the counter-racist code, in a few days I have a meeting with, I'm just going to say, this so-called federal government representative for, I've been asking for help, and I'm at a level of an appeal where I'm meeting with a federal judge for this help that I'm seeking. In the code book, you speak about a compensatory investment request. And so is this essentially what I'm making, is a compensatory investment request for them? Because I'm reading where you say it's a normal requirement in order for us to invest in the process of replacing the system of white supremacy racism with justice. And I'm using the Constitution, like you suggested, Mr. Fuller. Should I bring the code book or the word guide with me? What is your suggestion for this meeting?
You can take them with you or not, depending on what they allow you to have. It's in two volumes. I mean, the latest, the word guide, and the 2016 edition. Or if you want the original edition, it depends on how much of it you're going to need, and I'm thinking while I'm talking to you, what I would do myself, I would have to do the same thing that you're doing or trying to do or trying to figure out what to do. Neely Fuller, you going to court today? Are you going to take your textbook? Well, one thing I'm definitely going to take is a copy of the Constitution of the United States. All right? I mean, I'm not going to be sitting there naked. I'm going to take some clothing with me in the form of what that court is about. The Constitution of the United States. That's what that court, any court that you're going into in this area of the world, if they say this is a court of a United States of America court, take that Constitution with you. Oh, yeah. And you should be somewhat familiar with something in it. And I would just start off with just almost religiously. Well, I'll say religiously. Looking at that preamble about we the people. And then I would underline stuff like that word justice. That's in there. Okay? And then I would definitely take in consideration the 5th, the 13th, and the 14th amendments, the words amendments. Of course, you're doing a rush job, I mean, and grabbing it now, I mean, may not help you a whole lot, because you know, that's why I'm trying to get people, hey, pay attention to things before they happen and be prepared. That old Boy Scout motto, be prepared for all the disasters that are going to come at you, because most likely it's going to be a bunch of them in the time that you're on this planet. So in answer to your question, the Constitution have that. I got, you know, what I have is what is very common. A lot of the people on Capitol Hill carry it with them, and they hold it up. If you ever been to some of the hearings, if you ever been in court, it's a pocket thing. it fits right into a small purse. You know, it's just about the size of your iPad. That's the Constitution. The whole wax, the whole ball of wax is right there. And it's a little copy that the government puts out. They used to give them away. And that's how I got a whole box of them down in my storage area where I am. And so in answer to the question, just take what you think that you can use and be ready to answer questions, and don't do no more talking than you have to. Now, most lawyers will tell that. That's what black people do. They want to elaborate and go on. They want to use as many words as they possibly can. Try to use as few words as you possibly can think of to get the job done. If you can do the job with one hammer, don't try to use everything in the toolbox. Just use that hammer if that will do the job. Black people have a tendency to do overdo, like Neely Fuller is doing right now. Overdo everything. But I kind of do that because, man, we've been led down so many blind alleys. And I'm trying to learn more and more about how to stay focused. And stay focused on every word that is said. Do that. And then raise questions. That's another thing. Don't go in there like you know anything, that you have to learn everything. Like first day of kindergarten, that's how you go into a court. You're going to have to learn everything, and they're going to have to teach you. Because the one thing you're going to be saying, if you're telling the truth, without doing a whole lot of talking, is let the judge know. It's just certain things you don't know. Mm-hmm. And you'll be telling the truth, because you're telling me right now. You ain't been spending a whole lot of time in court. And now you're getting blindsided. So you're going in there completely ignorant. And that's why you can tell the judge, I brought the Constitution, and I got to learn as I go. So, Your Honor, I might be making a whole lot of mistakes. Because that's what Neely Fuller would do right this morning.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm somewhat familiar with the Constitution. All right? But you go in there cold turkey. But if you can get a fast copy of the Constitution from somebody, you might have it in a dictionary, the whole Constitution. I mean, you know, so you're scared of the dictionary with you.
Okay. All righty. All right, Corey, thank you for your call, and we'll move on. All right, going down to Dallas. Yes, DFW. That's Dallas-Fort Worth, for those who don't know. Lovely airport, one of the greatest ones in the world. Two-question, Ray. Here we go. Ray, you are on. Go ahead, Ray.
Yes, good morning, sir. If I can stay on the line, please.
Okay.
Mr. Fuller, thank you, sir. Mr. Fuller, how do you develop the patience to not talk about racism when it is the most dominant problem in the known universe?
Develop the patience. So wait.
How did you?
I'll say that again.
How did you do it?
I mean, right now. One thing, slow down. And, like I said, the code does a lot for you. And by doing what? Keep in mind all problems. See, the race problem is the biggest problem on earth. So that calls for what? A code that addresses that. And the central part of the code is questions and answers. You can't solve any problem ever. Anywhere on the planet or in outer space behind the eclipse without questions and answers, if the eclipse is a problem. I mean, you got to raise questions and get answers to the questions. Like this program is about questions and answers. So how do you do this? Which is what you just did just now. But you ask what? Within the framework of what the question you just asked about patience and whatnot. You're having patience when you ask a question. First question, what do you want, sir or ma'am? Or what do you want me to do, since the person most likely is talking to you? What do you want me to do? That's the first question. Because it's just four. And all others can grow out of that four. But those are the four main ones you start with. What do you want me to do, sir, ma'am? Always be polite. Along with being patient. Because being polite, it takes patience to do that. Okay. What do you want me to do? Second question. Why do you want me to do what you want me to do? Third question, how do you plan for me to do what you want me to do, sir or ma'am? Always be courteous. Keep your voice low. Don't get like Neely Fuller. He gets kind of loud sometimes from old habits. Habits and traditions, black traditions, sometimes are not good for nothing but getting you in further trouble. Okay? Just because something is a tradition and this is the way we do it in the hood, no. Just because it's a black person doing it, we try to give it a blessing. No, look at it and see if it makes sense. That's what the code is about. Don't do nothing ever that doesn't make sense, regardless of who's doing it.
And the fourth?
And the fourth, and this is the bombshell. What do you expect the constructive result to be? Result of what? Everything you're asking me to do, sir or ma'am. What do you expect the constructive result to be? Underline, constructive result. Because
okay.
Every move that you make is supposed to produce a constructive result. And that's any move that anybody ever makes.
Correct. All right. Now, a person could ask a question. At the beginning, Ray mentioned the word patience. Well, you would a logical question would be, what is patience? You would have to answer that. But, Mr. Fuller, let me ask you this. Everybody is talking about a code, and you've explained that and probably will explain that again. But here is a question on the code. People believe or may believe that a code works, but the question on that, Mr. Fuller, is how do you know that the code that a code works?
Give an example, and I can give one right now. You pick up your phone, there's a code, like I did when I came on this program and hooked up with you. There's a code for doing that. If I didn't know what button, if I didn't know the code, the buttons that I pushed on one of those old-fashioned desk phones, which is what I have, I would not be talking to you right now, no matter how I wished. See, I can sit here and wish all day.
That's right.
But I had to have a code. I pushed some buttons.
Exactly.
Those buttons, yeah.
Exactly.
The first.
So it's not enough to believe. I mean, believing is good, but it's not enough to believe
that the code works. You got to know that the code works. And you gave a perfect example. We're using a simple example, the phone. You know that works. How do you know that it works? Because you've done it. You've tried it.
See, I asked somebody what you know, and I think I asked you,
yeah,
Mr. Bobby, how do I get in touch with you?
Yes.
And you said, this is the number.
Yes.
And so I wrote it down, and I say, now, if I'm going to get in touch with Mr. Bobby, this is the most efficient way to do it. I have to find the code for getting in touch with Mr. Bobby. And so I look for a scrap of paper, which is what I added on. First time I call you. And I said, oh, boy, I'm glad I didn't misplace this somewhere. And says, Mr. Bobby. And then it had a phone number.
Yes, sir.
Boom.
Yeah. Yeah. The point I was
Saved
trying to
my
make.
Day.
Yes, exactly. The point I was trying to make is it's good that you believe, but it's not enough. You got to know that the code works, and that's what the book is about, that you can get from going on to producejustice.com. Yeah, you believe it works. That's good. But you got to know that it works.
Know that it's going to work.
That's right.
Yes.
Exactly.
So code is means you got something. You see, if I was codified, like we were talking about court and going today, I would already know, like I do know. Because I've been practicing. I've been going to exercises with myself. But my caller, they called in about going to court today, and they didn't know exactly what to do and all like that. See, you got to go in there prepared. So, but the code covers that. Going to court on short notice, and you're not prepared. So the code takes care of that just by saying, like a lot of people, I've seen people do it. I'm not prepared. They tell the judge that. I'm not prepared to answer this. You know? Of course, if you ain't prepared, just tell the truth. See, once you start lying, they know how to get you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You start lying there in front of all them people in court, they know how to get to a lie. Black people don't lie very well. All right? We're not good at it.
No, not at all.
That's why we fill up all themselves. There's a whole lot of white people that know how to lie. They walk out smiling, you know.
I got them again.
Because they came prepared.
They came prepared.
And they always prepared for a black person.
Yes. You know? All right. Thank you, Ray. Thank you, Ray, for your call. But, yes, it's not enough. Remember, it's not enough, everybody, to just believe. You got to know. You got to know. And that's what the code is for, with suggestions. And you do that by practicing and staying focused, that you know that you know that you know. You got to do that. All righty. Here we go. We're going to go to the yo. And that is Talif. Got some words for us today. Talif. Good morning. You are there, brother. Go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Bobby, Mr. Fuller. Fuller, I got a question for you. Have you heard of or listened to a station up there? Every time I'm up in your area, it's called WPFW. Are you familiar with that channel, Mr. Fuller?
Absolutely.
That's a good channel, isn't it? I like that show.
Yes, and Dr. E. Faye Williams, I want to say that loud and clear, a black lady, and another one, Dr. Julianne Malvo.
Yes.
And just before he died, a person that played records called the American Songbook, Mr. Donnie McKesson.
Oh, yeah.
And then then there's a Dr. Watson that comes on that station. He was on yesterday at 2 o'clock, WPFW.
WTFW.
He gives out a lot of... Yes.
Yep. Is that a TV station or a radio station?
No, it's a radio station that's
it's
really
a regular
supported
radio
by the
station.
By the listener.
Public support.
But you can, yeah, publicly supported, and they play blues, jazz, have a lot of different, and you can even listen to it online. They do have you can listen to it no matter where you are in the world.
I just wrote it down. Okay.
But anyway, I want to say grand rising to you guys, but I'm going to almost keep on the same vein as the first woman that called in about discussing racism. And Mr. Fuller, I'm going to go a couple places. But for one thing, in your area of Area 4 labor, page 137 of the 2016 edition, you put in there avoid racial shadow boxing. So I'm not sure if that's what the lady who called in earlier, if that's what you meant by that. But I do want to ask you one thing, and even if you want to get back to that page. Okay, you know how we are always complaining, well, I'm not going to say all of us, but how this system doesn't support us. Even they say sports are racist, the TV shows are racist. But yet, Mr. Fuller, I don't see them applying your work and other people's work to what I always say, to get off the plantation. But I do want to ask you this, Mr. Fuller, sticking along the lines of racism, white supremacy. In the movie Ghostbusters, Mr. Bobby, as far as the guy said he's going to court, they would tell you, if it's something strange in your neighborhood, who can you call? Call Ghostbusters. Well, who do we call, Mr. Fuller? But my question is, should we have integrated in the first place if people are claiming that we're still being mistreated by the so-called white folk and white supremacy? But like I always say, most of us act in such a crazy manner that we don't even want to get off the plantation. So, Mr. Fuller, my question to you is, does that avoid racial shadow boxing have, and I'm sure it all ties in, but why are we still asking to vote, pray with them, march and do all this? If they treat us so bad, so why are we even integrated with those same people? And, Mr. Bobby, I'll keep listening, and if you can answer that, Mr. Fuller, maybe the people, because I keep preaching to the choir. Well, if you so dissatisfied people, why don't we try to create our own, Mr. Bobby, our own radio stations, our own TV shows?
So what was your question, Mr. Fuller?
My question is, should we have integrated in the first place if people still think that this is such a plantation?
Wait a minute. One question at a time. Should we have integrated? Okay, first thing we do is look at the words. I don't know what integrated means.
Neither do I.
We're always when you're talking about codification, you're talking about dealing with every word that you use. Don't forget that. That's the essence of the code. Every word. You don't skip, you don't just say something. What is integration?
Mm-hmm.
And then sit back and wait, and if it takes 5 million days and nights to get an answer to that question, you don't start no conversation using words that you don't know exactly what they mean.
Okay.
I don't know what integration means.
Okay.
You know, that's just a word that came up in the 1940s and 50s and whatnot. And I have told people, be true. Always be truthful when you're talking about racism, because if you don't, that bug would jump up and bite you sometime, you know, afterwards, immediately, most likely. Okay? Now, so I don't know. So you ask a person who uses the term. First of all, sir, ma'am, what do you mean by integration? What does it look like? In all areas of activity, you can always go to the code on the areas of activity.
Yes.
Economics, you want to know what integration means in economics? The use of time and energy, that's what what is economics? The use of time and energy. That's basic economics. You come into the world, okay? Then move to education. You want to know what integration means when it comes to education.
Okay.
This is important. Don't help the person with the answer. Many people, including Neely Fuller, makes that big mistake.
Okay.
When you ask, what is integration in education? You sit back and wait and do nothing but listen. So we ain't moving until we, own nothing until I find out what integration means when it comes to education and entertainment and labor and law, et cetera, all the nine areas of activity. And you might go over 50, 40 million times, but you don't move on until you get a definition for what integration means.
Okay.
And then they said segregation. Now you want to know what that means. Start all over again in all those areas of activity.
But let me ask you
this,
Mr. Fuller.
Everybody to know. Yes, sir.
Let me ask you this. Before we go all over the place, because I think we get it that we go through all nine areas, but he asked a specific question, which I almost forgot. How does that go, Tariq, so we can stay with it again, Tariq, about the integration? What did you ask?
I asked him, I said, okay, lately it's been this big push for DEI. You got the transgender stuff. But the reason I say that, because I also say the same thing. I also tell my young nieces and nephews, the kids, do you know what that word means? If they tell me no, I say, well, don't use it. But, Mr. Fuller, my question is, if we as melanated people, because I don't like using those social construct terms, black and white, if we as melanated people claim that this so-called United States, and I'm going to say the planet for that matter, because all people of color are treated bad, we want to continue to stay on this plantation but not create our own jobs, businesses, schools, but we say it's so bad, Mr. Fuller, so why do we still want to be a part of it if they claim it's so bad?
Okay, wait a minute, Tariq. Now, you used the word integration. We want to get back to that question, that first question you asked, so we can get a specific answer to that. You said what about integration? What do we want to integrate or whatever it was?
Yeah, well, I'm using...
Yeah, you gave an example, but what's your
question? I'm using what somebody... I had this conversation, and I asked the same question, what does integrate? So the guy that I was speaking to says, well, I'm not able to listen to Mr. Fuller because I'm at work. And I said, well, I'm sure he's going to ask, what does integration mean? So my question is, if we don't know what that term is, so in other words, we just loosely running around here in circles, like I mentioned last week, without having, so in other words, Mr. Fuller, we could probably never fix that. If we don't even know the answer, I'm quite sure somebody who invented the word may know what it is. But how do we get around something that you don't even know exists?
Okay.
You don't get around it. I'm going to answer that question.
Yeah.
You don't get around it. You spend, I don't care if it takes 50 years. You say, hey, before we get around to, black people doing it, you mention a word, sir, ma'am, and that word was integration. Let's spend as long as it takes to talk about that word that you just mentioned. See, you start. That's the magic of the code. Boy, it's got rules like you wouldn't believe, but you believe them when you use them, because that's what I do. And when I was on the job and whatnot, I said, well, hold it right a minute. Hold everything right now. And they say, well, we don't want to go in and all, we don't have time. Well, sir, if you're going to use that word and you're going to have what the Constitution says, due process under the Fifth Amendment, due process means you have to explain what the word integration means before we even get to what we started out to talk about.
Okay, let's hold it right there. let's hold it right there because we have to end the first hour, and we'll come right back to that in integration. Okay, everybody, we're getting ready to knock down the first hour. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your calls. We're going to come back to this one. Oh, yeah, don't worry about that. But if you have to go, thank you for listening. Hopefully you'll come back next week, and you'll listen to the second hour that is going to come up after this. So thank you again for all your calls and suggestions and so forth. We're going to go back to integration because we're going to get this answered. But thank you. Hopefully we'll see you next week. But for those who are going to be around, stick and stay. Don't go away because we'll be black in about 5 seconds. All righty. Welcome back to the second hour of the Counter Racist Coach Show with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, and we are glad that you are aboard. Listen, this is the number that you use to call in, 516-453-9921. Make sure that you call that number so that I can get you in. If you are a new caller like Mozak from Culpeper, Culpeper, Virginia, has done that, but don't forget, when you do call in, to leave your name with the call screener. We're going to try to get to you as soon as we can. Keep in mind that Mr. Fuller does use countless examples to illustrate his point so that we will not be confused. So be patient with that. And by the way, when you do call in, please, ma'am, sir, give the call screener your name so that I can properly give you an introduction. Somebody in the 301, you need to do that. And I think a couple other people have done that. Make, yeah, 301 is the prefix. But make sure you give me your you give the call screener your name. Okay. The books that Mr. Fuller will be talking about, or the book, is the a book that you can get by going to producejustice.com, and it is the United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept. You can get that by going to producejustice.com. Okay, going back to my brother, Talif, we're talking about the integration, trying to stay focused on that question. Okay, Mr. Fuller, go ahead.
Yes. In answer to the question, You can't do anything according to the code until you get that word straight. And then you got to go to that next word right out of the gate. Now, these weren't the central issue that you were talking about leading up to with your initial question, the way I remember it. But when you mention the word integration according to the code, a bell goes off real loud and clear. Hold it right now. That's a stoplight.
Mm-hmm.
What is integration in every area of activity, all nine of them?
Yes.
And the nine are listed in the textbook. You ask about what a word means. What word? Every word that you're going to use. Every word. And any word that anybody else uses. Wait a minute. What do you mean by that? Well, we don't have time. Oh, hey. Don't ever say you don't have time to know what words mean and you're going to use them. Is that logical? Now, we've got a word on the table here. It's called integration. I don't know what it means. Now, lack of knowledge is an old biblical saying. For lack of knowledge, what?
He that lacks knowledge, let him ask
of thee. Perish. Mm-hmm. People perish or something like that.
Well,
hey, you don't want people perishing. You don't know what integration means. People might perish.
Yes.
So let's talk about this integration thing. And then when we get through with that, after 50 days of talking about it, and come to a conclusion, because you don't move until you come to a conclusion of what that word means, then you start on another word that you had as an introduction to a conversation. You said segregation. Well,
yeah.
We had separation, segregation. Well, wait a minute, hold it. What's the difference between separation and segregation? All right. Well, I ain't got time. Oh, we have to take time. That's what economics is about, time and energy.
Okay.
In order to solve a problem, you've got to take time. Watch an inventor. You see Henry Ford working on making the first motor car. I'll bet you he took a little bit of time. And when people start trying to rush him and rush past things, he'll say, wait a minute. This thing needs a carburetor. What's a carburetor? Well, I don't know yet, but I'm calling it that because I'm inventing.
Okay.
A carburetor. I got my scientists inventing one. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they call it.
Okay.
What does a carburetor do?
Yeah, you're asking questions.
What does integration do?
Okay.
What does segregation do? Use three words. Well, you know, you figure it out as you go along. No. Wait a minute. You're using words here, and you're throwing them at me. And I got to know what we're talking about. Otherwise,
right.
What's the purpose in talking?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Okay, so Brother Talif used the word integration, the plantation mentality. So what I'm trying to do is bring it back in to his specific question, because he didn't mention segregation yet. Maybe that might come up. But Talif, when you mentioned integration, that's why I asked you what was your first question in that, so that we can get that specific answer. Do you remember what you said specifically?
Yeah.
I thought he mentioned segregation.
He said integration.
No, I didn't say. If you actually look at the etymology of words, like, for instance, I don't use the word nice, because the etymology of that word means your air getting evil, and that's probably why sometimes some people in the white folks will look at you, oh, you're such a nice guy, but they're giving you that silly-looking grin because they know. But my question is, okay, I want to, if you look at the etymology of the word integrate, but I'm going to get off of that and go back to what I want to ask.
Yeah, the original question, please.
Okay, my question is, Mr. Fuller, why should we hang around somewhere where people don't want you? That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
If you go into their store and they don't want to feed you, why are we always pushing forward to make others like us or others do for us that we should be doing for ourselves?
Okay.
And I'm quite sure, and somewhere in all these conversations we have, I've probably asked you that a thousand ways, a thousand different times, Mr. Bobby, but why are we as melanated people saying, okay, Mr. White Man, I know you don't want us in your restaurant, but take me anywhere. I know you don't want me in your job, but why are we pressing forward so much to stay on that vein, Mr. Fuller? And thank you, Mr. Bobby, and I'll listen.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Tilly. All right, Mr. Fuller. Yeah. Okay. Now, go ahead, Mr. Fuller, with the answer to that. The answer is,
I asked myself that question when I was on the job that I was on.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I, I'm on it because, in answer to the question, according to the code, my identity. What is my identity? What is my true identity according to the code? Victim of white supremacy. And if you want some synonyms, I got a list of them.
Yes.
Disabled veteran. I'm a disabled veteran. Veteran of what? A war. What war? The war between those who believe in white supremacy and those who don't. I'm also a prisoner of war. So if you understand what a prisoner is, the reason I'm doing this thing that I don't want to do, and I keep doing it, is because I'm a prisoner. I'm not somewhere else.
Okay.
I'm a prisoner of war.
Okay.
And I got guards. You know, in a prison, you have guards. That will not allow you to do this and do that or anything that you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, they'll find things. They'll find out what you like to do and stop you from doing it. Why?
Right.
Because you are a prisoner of war. That's why.
Yes.
And you
exactly.
make prisoners of war do
yeah.
what they want. And I am
yeah.
a victim of white supremacy, a prisoner of war. I'm a disabled veteran of that war. I'm a homeless person. I'm a refugee. This is Nita Fuller
yeah.
I'm talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
I am a child. I am not a man and never will be one
mm-hmm.
as long as I'm a prisoner of war. And ain't no point in pretending that I am one when I'm not. I'm not qualified to be a man because I can't manage nothing. Prisoners
yes.
of war don't manage anything.
Exactly.
Manage means you manage things.
Alrighty.
I'm not managing to do anything except try to stay alive as a prisoner of war.
Mm-hmm. This is, and thank you, Mr. Fuller, this is an example of why the book makes a suggestion that when you ask a question, that you stay focused in and answer the question and don't go to the second question until you answer the first question. That requires focus. And the reason we do that is because if you allow other questions to come in, then your focus is obscured. You become obtuse, and the question gets lost. That's why I try to get back to the original question that Brother Talib asked so that we can stay focused on that. You can give all the examples you want to, but we got to keep our focus, or if we do not, then we become even further victims to this system that we already are in. That's why it was pressed that way. But thank you,
thank
Brother
you,
Talib.
Thank you, Mr. Bobby.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. Appreciate it. Okay, now let's go to our new caller. Brother, I think it's Mozak. Hopefully I got it right. Hey, Brother Mozak, I'm good for messing up names, but hopefully I got yours correct. Here we go, Brother Mozak, first-time caller. Here we go. See if we can get you in here. Okay, Brother Mozak, good morning. And you are on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please.
That was Mo Facts, M-O-E-F-A-C-T-Z.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
How you doing, Mr. Bobby? How you doing, Mr. Fuller?
Good, sir.
I'm still learning.
I know the answer to that. I would like to first start off with a constructive VGQ and then move it to my one question. As a companion to Mr. Fuller's book, I also have found that the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Dr. Stephen Covey, has been a good companion to Mr. Fuller's book. And I would like to quickly run down those seven habits as just helping, you know what I'm saying, other people. Hopefully it helps other people get less confused than it helped me. First is to be proactive. The second habit is to begin with the end in mind. And this is what I think this is what Mr. Fuller talks about with the four questions. What do you want to do? Why do you want to do it? What the constructive outcome would be, and how do you plan to do it? I did that out of order. The third habit is to put first things first. This is the one that has helped me the most, is to start with the first step of doing what I want to do. The fourth is think win-win. This is the one I think we can challenge the system of white supremacy with the most, because we can challenge them and say, you haven't thought win-win with us, so you can't be as effective as you possibly could be if you thought win-win with non-white people. Number five is seek first to understand, then to be understood. I think this is what Mr. Fuller talks about when he says all problems are solved through questions and answers. Number six is synergy. This is working together to achieve more. Now, I know Mr. Fuller says we shouldn't get together, but I think his code book has us getting together in our thought, speech, and action. And the seventh habit is sharpening the saw, or continuous improvement. So I found this to be very helpful to be less confused in the system. And now if I could move on to my question.
Yeah, one question, please.
Yes, okay. My question is, Mr. Fuller, have you given thought to creating a codified formula for asking constructive questions?
Yes. Those are ones. Those are the best questions you can ask. I don't think there's any questions better than that. Find out what the other person wants. People who want something, they'll let you know. I mean, you know, everybody has wants. Every creature has wants. A squirrel, the chicken. You know, there's a question called, why did the chicken cross the road? And the answer was to get to the other side. Then a question comes after that. Why did the chicken want to get to the other side? Because that's where the chicken saw that cornfield. Wasn't any cornfield on that side of the road where it was. So that chicken just took a little stroll over there where the cornfield was. Why did the chicken cross the road to get to the cornfield? The chicken crossed the road to get to the cornfield after trying to get to the other side of the road in order to get to the corn that was in the cornfield. See, there's an answer to every question. That's why the chicken crossed the road. And then you can keep on asking questions. Why did the chicken want to get to the cornfield? The chicken was hungry and wanted to eat the corn. Oh, why did the chicken want to eat the corn? Because the chicken found out that if the chicken didn't eat something, it was going to die.
Okay. All right. Yeah, got that.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See,
okay.
Every answer to a question sometimes calls for another question until
yes.
you get to what? The final answer.
Mm-hmm.
The chicken did not want to die. That's why the chicken wanted to cross the road.
Yeah, we know. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Brother Mosak, do not, as I give to all new callers, do not be a stranger. Do not do that. All right. Thank you for your call. All righty. Let's go to Brother AP. AP, here we go. Let me get this over there. Okay. Brother AP, okay, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please.
Grand Rising, fam, Mr. Bobby and Mr. Fuller, since you brought up the Constitution this morning, Mr. Fuller, I've always thought about that, and your code book points to it, and we see that Mr. Trump is the biggest violator of that Constitution. I would like to suggest that everyone watch MSNBC, CNN, or BBC. Why? In my opinion, they give the most detailed and reports on political matters. Most time, they cover all nine areas of people activity that Neely Fuller talks about in one form or another. Now, Mr. O'Donnell is one of my favorite persons on MSNBC, and yesterday he spoke about the Constitution, how it's being tested, how it's being assaulted. And he spoke about the prosecutor, Jack Smith, breakdown of Trump's committed by, violations, excuse me, committed by Donald Trump. Now, I only want to make a VGQ about that because we as people of color or anyone in the so-called United States is looking at everything that is going on politically because of this being an election year for the presidency. And abortion, what is the other one, border control, border, the border issue, wars that we see, it's a very trying time. So I just want to suggest that people get more informed because, as what was stated today, our people perish for lack of knowledge, and that's everybody is included in that, not just people of color, melanated people. And just to answer my opinion on the question that our brother asked earlier about why we fail to want to get off the plantation, racist white supremacists have selected us as victims to be hated, and they impede our progress in our attempts to want to free ourselves from them, and that's the biggest problem. I would love Mr. Fuller to speak to that issue a little bit more. And also, that radio station that people like in the D.C. area, WPFW, can be found on 89.3 FM. And I also remember the time that Ambrose Lane Sr. was a very, very big person that I used to listen to 10, 12 years ago. He's deceased now, and Amy Goodman. Keep up the good work, Mr. Fuller. That's what I had to say. I'll stay on the line if you have anything to ask, I can comment further.
Thank you, Brother AP. All righty.
All righty.
Okay, AP. Okay, Mr. Fuller, did you have a response to that? I know he gave the 89.3 reference to WTFW. Yeah, okay. Thank you, AP. Okay. All righty. Okay, Mr. Fuller, I'm sorry. Did you have a response to that or what now? Or we can move
no,
on?
No, no question there. But
okay.
Thanks.
Gotcha.
Everything is a part of the code, what I call the code. Everything is a part of it that helps people to solve problems.
Okay.
People of color.
Okay.
However you want to describe yourself. The code says that too. You can describe yourself the way that you choose to describe yourself. The code says that.
All right.
Some people say, well, I call myself an African. Well, call yourself, you know. And everybody else out of what? Courtesy. Codified courtesy. Neely Fuller is required to call people by what they want to be called by. That's a codified, you know, procedure. That's automatic. Always call people by the names and titles that they want to be called.
Okay.
People have told me, well, you need to stop calling yourself a victim. I keep calling myself a victim because I say that's what I am. I've never been anything other than that. And I can't name anything significant that I've ever been other than that.
Mm-hmm.
A victim of, and it's right on the back of my book, I identify myself as a victim of and a servant to the system of white supremacy. There hasn't been a moment when I haven't been a victim of and a servant to not the United States of America, but a servant and a victim of the system of white supremacy.
Yes,
and
sir.
I'm not going to be anything else of any significance until I'm no longer that.
All righty. Gotcha.
That's why I wrote the book.
Yes, sir.
I know who I am. I ain't nothing else. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. All right, back to the phone lines. I hope I have permission to do what I'm getting ready to do. But we're going to go down to Montgomery, Alabama. And I was getting ready to say, this is Gump Town Teddy. Teddy, you could tell me off in front of the whole world. Do I have permission to call you Gump Town Teddy? Go ahead, brother. Brother Teddy. Going once, Brother Teddy. Got you on here. Okay. Well, he's
can
not
you hear
on
me?
Here.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry. Hello? Oh.
Yeah, man. I'm getting ready to put the button on you, man.
Yeah, look, I'm originally from New Orleans, so I'm still New Orleanian in Montgomery.
Oh.
How about that?
Okay.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Yeah. On yesterday, we had an opportunity for those who were in that line to witness a very phenomenal affair that comes every 20 years or so, right? And so my question to you, Dr. Fuller, Mr. Fuller, is this. What should we have done? What are the constructive results that we should have seen or taken advantage of to produce justice with the number of people witnessing an event that was outside of us? We had an opportunity for everyone to be, well, a large majority of people to be together. So my question is, what opportunities should we have been taking advantage of in order to produce justice? Thank you. I'll listen to your response.
Talking about justice, producing justice here and on the other side of the eclipse. How about that?
Okay.
But doing justice here. Now, what is justice? This fellow keeps talking about this justice thing. That's a codified question. Yeah, you're going to use the word justice. What is justice? Guaranteeing that no person is mistreated. That's number one. Number two, it's just two parts. Second part, guaranteeing that the person who needs help the most gets the most constructive help. Most constructive help doing what? Whatever's got to be done to solve the problem in every area of activity that the person has a problem to solve in. Economics, you got an economic problem, that person is supposed to guarantee that that problem is eliminated. Otherwise, it's not justice. So when you examine the world and the behavior of the people on this planet, justice has never been produced anywhere by anybody. There's no record, no written record, where nobody was being mistreated, nowhere. And everybody who needed help the most got the most constructive help. Because that's the definition of justice. You won't find it in any dictionary I've looked, but that's one that I made up. And I said, I don't think that will ever be beat. If people look at it and use logic and try to say the definition is something else.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion. Because anything in the code is supposed to be the very best.
Very good. So thank you so very much. And as always, still listening and learning as well. Look forward to hearing you more.
All right. Thank you. Teddy Nualian, I like that. Go Saints.
Oh, go Saints, all righty.
Okay, let's see here. Okay, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to break early and then run through. You're listening to the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr., and we thank you for doing that. man, getting ready to have a loss for words. If you are new to the program, we would like for you to call in, and you can do that by calling 516-453-9921. It's the main number to get in. Make sure you give the call screener your name so that I can properly give you an introduction without butchering up, and I've been very, very bad today, so I need to get better on that one. You can also join the chat room. All you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com. Then you want to go to the program menu, click on that, and after you get that, then you want to go to the shows menu, and then you click on that, and then the chat room icon or window is available for you to get in there, and you can do your thing in there. And lastly, you can Gmail me, and my Gmail address for the program is the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. And I will get your note or letter or Gmail, and I will read it at an appropriate time, which I'm getting ready to do when we come back off of this station break, and Mr. Fuller address your question that way. That is the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, MRBOBBY, at gmail.com. You can do that. Okay, we're getting ready to go into the last 30-something minutes of the show. And let's do this one, Mr. Fuller. This comes from, I believe it's from Gary. He says this, Mr. Fuller, how come white news companies don't connect the dots for people when it comes to certain topics?
I don't know. I'd have to ask them. The people who are news companies, those are people, presumably, who make decisions. So here again, all problems are solved through the process of questions and answers. So you contact the people who are doing whatever it is you think that they are doing that they shouldn't be doing. And make suggestions, never make a criticism without a suggestion. That's a part of the code. And suggest that they start doing what they're not doing that they should be doing. That's the answer. Find out who's doing it. And, you know, ask and need it for, first of all, you can ask Neely Fuller, are you doing this? Because I am sort of like communications. I don't say I'm giving any news. But if there's anything that Neely Fuller is doing he shouldn't be doing, like a person let me know, where this discussion about Dr. Francis Wilson came up, he let me know that I was doing something that I shouldn't be doing. So the logical process would be for him to say, we never got around to that, but it's never too late to correct something, what I should be doing. But then he told me what I shouldn't be doing is selling my book. I'm not going to stop doing that. That was a suggestion. He can make it to the suggestion. But I don't think that me stopping selling my book will help anybody. It won't help me because I'm the first person that I wrote my book for. If somebody would ask me and I told the truth, Fuller, why did you write this book? I say, to help me to figure things out. Because you're talking about one confused individual. And I was sick and tired of being confused. That's why Neely Fuller started writing the textbook for victims of white supremacy. I was writing it for myself. And then people started saying to me, hey, you talk real peculiar. You got a different way of looking at things. Mm-hmm. I said, I figured I'd better, because I was getting sick of being mixed up about everything. You talking about one mixed up individual, I was a champ. Might still be.
Okay. Alrighty. Alrighty. All right. Well, that was your answer, Gary. I hope that suffices you. You know you can always write in, Gary. And you know the email address is the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, MRBOBBY at gmail.com. Okay, keeping in the mode of notes, or I keep calling them notes, but Gmails. This is a question for you, Mr. Fuller. It says from JL. It has been reported that some melanated people have been discriminated against in the job market due to having unique names. Do you think melanated people should give their children common names to give them a chance to get their foot in the door? That's the first question. Do you think that, Mr. Fuller?
I did. And so that's what I would recommend. We are prisoners of war. We're still prisoners. I don't care what we call ourselves. It's what our masters call us that counts. So my master, the Fuller family of South Carolina, someone traced it and wanted to ask some questions. Someone who was kin to me, blood kin, and the people didn't want to talk to him.
Okay.
And I understood that, and I understand.
Yes.
Because I understand something about racism. I mean, so why would a white person want to talk about slavery? There's no logical reason for a white person would want to talk about slavery unless they believed in justice. Okay. Now, if they believe in justice, a white person would want to talk about slavery. But if a white person believes in white supremacy, you don't want to talk about no slavery. Slavery, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
Don't talk to me about that. That ain't helping me. Why? Because the system of white supremacy is slavery.
Okay.
Slavery is a form of mistreatment. system of white supremacy is a form of slavery. Therefore, logically speaking, the system of white supremacy and slavery all in the same ballpark. And I'm a victim of all of it. So why would any white person want to talk about me saying I'm a victim of something that they worship?
Okay. She mentioned about names. So if a person named their child, let's say Anastasia Harris, and they go for a job and the person sees that name, knowing that that name is not Jane or Clara or Sam or somebody, but Anastasia Harris, and discriminates against them, do you think that that is a proper way? Or what does it mean to have a name like that? Or doesn't mean to have a name like that?
What it means is the person is a racist. If they're doing anything to stop a black person from being a victim of racism, well, that's what a racist does. I want you to remain a victim, black person. It ain't because I hate you. A lot of people call it that. I don't hate you. I just want you to remain a slave. Why? Because it helps me as a white person for you to be a slave. It ain't personal, it's business.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So.
See, that's something black people got to understand.
But who calls him a racist?
Who calls us what?
Who can call him a racist? I do recall you are mentioning that a black person can't call a person who is a racist a racist. It has to be called by another white person? Or did I get that wrong?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you never call a white person under any circumstance a racist if you are a victim of racism. Why? It's not going to help you, that's why.
But he discriminated against you because you gave the name Anastasia Harris. And you just said that the man who said that is a racist.
No, well, I'm saying, but you don't tell him that.
Oh, okay.
That's
okay.
Just something
you
that you
that.
Know. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
gotcha.
once you decide that the person is a racist, expect a racist to always act like a racist.
Okay.
Until the person is no longer a racist. And that's a decision that the white person has to make.
Okay.
The white
All
person
right.
makes a decision. You can make a proposal. You can say Bruce or Mac or Jane. You said that you are racist. You shouldn't be a racist.
Okay.
Okay? And they are willing to talk about it. Then you can talk about how she can stop being a racist. But you can tell them that you can tell her if she's in a system of racism and she's classified as white. It means you might have to make some very painful choices.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right. People don't like pain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I can
okay.
understand any white person not wanting to talk about racism. Why? Because you're telling me that I might lose something.
Okay. Yeah.
And I don't want to lose nothing. No, I want to keep.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, continuing on with that Gmail, she says this now. Mr. Fuller, do you think that we being black people, that do you think we should fight back by giving our children traditional/cultural names? Thank you for your time.
I have to know to hear again questions and answers. What are the traditional/cultural lines? I know the white supremacists, when they hear names, you know, they hear Muhammad or something like that, they say, that sounds like that might be some people that got color in their skin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, I mean, that ain't going to help me as a white person. I mean, do anything that I want to do. I mean, if what I want to do is not practice justice, okay? See, once a white person agrees that they believe in justice, they believe nobody's supposed to be mistreated, and that the person that needs help the most gets it. Now, once a white person makes that decision, of course, white person starts operating based on that, makes it, when I say makes a decision, I don't mean just have it in their minds. I mean actually start doing it, okay? Now, the person is evolving out of the system of racism. That's the only time that you'll be talking to a white person who most likely wants to change. When we always talk about make changes, I mean, what do you mean by make a change? See what I mean? We ask questions and we want an answer to it. Change from what to what in order to do what? Okay? It always has something to do with doing something. Black Lives Matter. Well, do they? Is there any evidence of Black Lives mattering even to millions of black people? Do they matter? I just participated in a drive-by shooting and I killed 5 black people. Do Black Lives matter to me? We've got to get real and stop playing with words. Be serious for once. That's what the code is for. If you're not serious, why bother? And if you're serious, you're talking about replacing the entire system of white supremacy with the system of justice, not picking around the edges forever like we've been doing. And do it with expediency. Am I cut off? Hello? Hello?
Okay, there we go. I don't know what happened there. Now I got to get Mr. Fuller on the line, too. I was getting ready to read a Gmail. I don't know what happened. Mr. Fuller, see if you can get back in here, and then we can get together again. By the way, anybody in the chat room, if you can hear me, give me a call here. Because, the screen went dark and all that. What's going on here? Could this be the usual suspect? Wow. Okay. It cut off on me. Yeah, okay. Chad Kenyatta, it cut off on me too. Yeah. Dang. But you know what? That is to be expected in the system of white supremacy. Things happen. But we're gonna go on here if we can. Let's see, and get Mr. Fuller back in here, see if Robert can contact Mr. Fuller and get him in, because I don't see him on my screen. Okay. Yeah, the chat room, okay, is available there. Okay. See, and then the other calls are still on. AP, did you get cut off? See, Teddy, did you get cut off? Yeah. And Ray, did you get? Yeah, that's right. Seshatah, yeah, the usual suspects, yeah. We were having a good show. Only 14 minutes ago, we got cut off. But that's all right. We'll still keep going. See if I can get Fuller back on here. Let's see here. No. Wait a minute. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, text green. I don't know what's going on. usual suspects. But, you know, the people, they know. They know what's going on. They know what's going on. Okay, but we got to get the main man back here. See if we can get Fuller back on here.
Yeah, got to hear his words of wisdom. I need his words of wisdom. Yes, indeedy. But anyway, MS, what I was getting ready to say before we were suddenly disconnected. MS, okay, Teddy has just dropped. The guy who called in last week, and by the way, that brother did apologize, and I wanted to read his apology. I wanted to get Mr. Fuller on here so that I could read what the brother had mentioned.
I'm here.
Okay, good, Mr. Fuller. Thank
you. Let's cut off again.
Hey, I don't know what happened, Mr. Fuller. As the people in the chat room said, the usual suspects were in control here or did what they did. I was getting ready to say that MS, the guy that I read the Gmail last week, but he called back and I wanted to read his he called back and apologized, and he wanted you to know that. And if I can get his apology up here, I'll read it. It was very, very nice because he didn't have to do that, but he did. So let me see if I can find it here because I wanted to make sure that we told the world that he did apologize. Let's see here. I'm scrolling through my notes here, Mr. Fuller, so I could get his exact saying here. So bear with me just one moment, please. Let's see here. Do. Technology. Sometimes in old radio, we'd have to. The one thing they hated was dead time, dead air, which they used to call it. Okay, I don't have it here before me as I'm scrolling through. But anyway, Mr. Fuller, he wanted to know that that he wanted to make it clear that he apologized. And what I was getting ready to say was that you had offered him any time that he wanted to come on the show. You gave him priority. You gave him a priority so that if he wanted to, he could do that. So if he is listening to the program, he can call in, and we will give him priority status. Yes, priority status. Okay, Mr. Fuller, while we have this time here, let's talk about your book. We've been talking about it in and out during the whole program. So let's talk about your book while we get back to some symbol of order. Mr. Fuller, your book.
Yes. Well, the book basically is about what to do if you are a person who is a victim of white supremacy. That's what it says on the cover, one of the three titles, all of them about equal. A textbook workbook for thought, speech, and or action for victims of racism. Now, racism is white supremacy, and white supremacy is racism. There's no other form of racism other than the system of white supremacy. According to what? According to logic. You can't have more than one supreme among people. Now, there are people who say, well, there's a supreme being called God or Allah or the Great One, and which I call the Creator. Some people will say creators, because they'll say there are many. Like the ancient Greeks, they say there are many gods. The common term is God in one language or another.
Mm-hmm.
But I say the creator. But other than that, the strongest and the smartest people on the planet in the year 2024 are white people who practice the system of white supremacy. So what is white supremacy? That word supreme, along with the whiteness, it means that you tell everybody who is non-white what they can do and what they can't do, and you make it stick, what you're saying, making that stick, making that the dominant force of all the business that goes on planet Earth in the year 2024. Now, is that true or false? And the evidence so far shown to me is that it's true. If you're a person classified as non-white, you're under the dictation, the supreme authority here on the planet of people who are not only white, but people who believe in white supremacy, which means dominating and mistreating people who are classified, who they classify as non-white. And so I wrote my book for the purpose of putting them out of business. Not Americans, not Russians, not anybody else, just the business, those people who are the masters of the system of white supremacy. It's a system of government, the strongest in recorded history, according to the notice that's been brought to my attention. And I answer to them more than I answer to anybody that I'm aware of. They say that you're given a whole lot of options under the Creator, but the white supremacists do that. They say that, oh yes, we acknowledge that there is a Creator, that's the truth, but we are second in command. And so while you're on this planet, you will obey us if you are a person that's got color in your skin, or else you will answer to us. And we have so far proven that we are good on our word. So I'm writing a book saying, I don't believe that you are supposed to be in that position. And the reason why, sir and ma'am, is because you mistreat people. And I don't believe that the Creator made me, on account of my color, something to be mistreated.
Okay.
And that's why I wrote the book. And the book is about how to get out from under this mistreatment.
Okay.
So I consider that to be the assignment of really everybody, including white people who are not white supremacists. That's the first assignment on for everybody on the planet in the
right.
year 2024.
And you
and
can
I
get
got
the
a
book.
And I got a book that should help you to do just that. And
okay.
you can get the book by going to producejustice.com.
Okay, that's
producejustice.com.
All righty. Let's go to TX. And thank you, Mr. Fuller. In Charlotte. Let's see if we can get him in here. This might be the last caller. Yeah, it is. Okay, TX, you are on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And since I am the last caller, I will be extremely brief and exercise the economy of time. And I have a VGQ. I've been listening for quite some time. People call in, and it seems like they have the tendency to go on and go on without recognizes the importance of punctuation. Ask a question, and as Mr. Fuller says, wait for the answer, as opposed to stacking up questions and giving long dissertations. Ask the question and be quiet. And wait
okay.
to ask. And the
yes.
acronym for the word wait is why am I talking? W-A-I-T. So it gives Mr. Fuller a lot more, it gives him more time to respond to the question because we all want to learn. And if he has more time to respond by us asking these beautiful questions, and it would just be quiet and listen. So, and then last thing is that sometimes maybe people should just play back the recording so they can hear how they sound when they're asking those questions and refusing to be quiet. So have a great day.
Okay. That's good information, TX from Charlotte, because
even I am still learning. I have a problem of sometimes interrupting Mr. Fuller, and I have been told about that. But then Mr. Fuller told me to, if he gets off a subject, to bring him back in. And I told him, Mr. Fuller, that I really hesitate to do that, because when I do that, then people accuse me of getting in Mr. Fuller's way. So I try to balance it out there. In other words, I don't like to make the appearance and I am correcting Mr. Fuller. No, I will never do that. But Mr. Fuller said if he gets off course to reel him back in, and I'm just saying I hesitate on that. But anyway, good call, TX, good call. Mr. Fuller, we got about 3 minutes of the show left, and we did have a little problem with the usual suspects. They took everything off my screen, but now it seems to be back on. So I'm going to give you those few moments that we have remaining in today's program before I close it out. Mr. Fuller, it's yours.
Well, I want to make this clear, right in conjunction with what you just said about me telling you about the interruptions and all like that. It's really not an interruption. That's why I told you. I am retarded, all right?
Ooh, okay.
Okay? Really, that's my own evaluation of myself. You know, retarded means you're held back and from reality and all. That's what retard. I'm
okay.
A retard, okay? Under the system of white supremacy, like I said, I was probably, you know, I became deconfused and started understanding life and existence. What am I here for? What is everybody here for on this planet? When I start understanding white supremacy and how it works. And why I think the way that I think, and why I do the things that I do, it's because this evil system, called a system of racism, all right, it never should have been. It's a great interrupter of the production of justice and people being universal people, like people showed that they were interested in not just what's going on here, but the entire universe. Just a few hours ago, everybody with, you know, with glasses that will keep them from the sun from putting their eyes out and all like that. And I'm quite sure somebody challenged that by looking directly at it. I'm quite sure they got a problem now. But, you know, that's the world, okay? I mean, but I want to make that clear.
Yes.
On the end of this program. And that is, Neely Fuller is, you know, I am messed up. But I realize I'm messed up. That's the first step toward not being messed up. You have to notice you're messed up. That's the logic. So I found that by using logic, by following the logic that came with the universe, and that's how I want to end this.
Okay.
We should be trying not to be just what you call strong black people. That's not the goal. The goal is to be universal man and universal woman, which
yes.
means what? People who do everything exactly the way it should be done.
And I got to leave it there because we're out of time.
Yes.
But thank
yes.
you, Mr. Fuller. Thank you, caller. Sorry for the interruption, but it wasn't our fault. Usual suspects. But we'll try to do better next week. Forgive me for all the mistakes. Mr. Fuller, thank you. Callers, thank you. We'll do better next week. Good, better, best. Never let it rest. To your good is better, and your best is best.
ProduceJustice.com.